John chapter 1, verse 1 to 19. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is in himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Susan. Thank you for Dave and Louise. Before I get stuck into talking a bit more about John, just a couple of people have asked me about how my new job's going. And we've been talking about transforming our minds. Well, my life has been transformed a bit this year, as I've now got a new job, and I've been working on it for 4 weeks, of which 1 week was a holiday. And I've begun to realise that as I was leaving Astor and looking for another job, actually, deep down in my heart, I was retiring. And so actually carrying on a new job. I want to thank you all for praying for me to get a new job. But I think you now need to pray for me to have that mind transformed that wants to carry on working for another 5 years. That's especially important for Imogen, who's looking to me to continue funding her for another 3 years.
And beyond.
And beyond, she says. Bless you. So we've just come back from we had a week's holiday in Cornwall, in Falmouth, and Susan and I are members of the National Trust. And one of the things about that, if you forget that you've actually paid for it beforehand, you can go up to the National Trust gate and you show your card and you're welcomed in. Free entry! Isn't that fantastic? And you enjoy all the blessings, the beautiful gardens, the wonderful things that God has provided. And we actually saw some pictures of some of those in some of Susan's slides there. I noticed she'd included some photos of some places we'd been. Free entry. And I think that's what I wanted to talk about today, because although we read the whole of that wonderful prologue to John's Gospel, really I want to focus today on verse 12. To all who believed in him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born of not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. It wasn't anything that we could possibly do, John says, that gets us to be children of God, but it's a free gift. Now, going to the National Trust property wasn't quite a free gift, but it felt like it at the time. As we went in, we had free access to the good things the National Trust provides. Now, I've got a few kind of random thoughts to bring into this. I did want to just talk about that young Japanese boy. I know that I tried to bring Imogen up as well as I could. I'm sure there are times when I said to her, behave yourself, I'm going to walk away. But I just think of that Japanese couple who this week, who said to their little boy, you must stop throwing stones, get out the car, we're off. And they went 500 yards away, and he went 5 kilometres in the other direction. And they didn't find him for a week. Now, I'd like to think of that. I mean, think of that as a bit like a modern-day equivalent of the lost sheep, isn't it? Because as soon as they realised he'd gone, they were desperate to find their son. They marshalled all the people in the village, the army, loads of people going through this bear-infested forest to find this boy. And finally they found him. And this father, I expect some of you have seen the pictures on the television of him shamefully admitting that he was a bad father for having let his child go away. Well, Jesus would say, there's a better father who, when you've gone astray, will come and get you and want to enjoy your embrace again. And it's to do with that that John has written his gospel, because he wants to tell of a God who loves his world, loves his children, and wants them to come into his family. And so the book of John gives an account of John's experience of meeting with Jesus on earth. And we're just going to look at the prologue for a few minutes. These 18 verses that talk of a summary, if you like, but not quite a summary, a kind of like an appetizer. Now, a friend of mine at work has just been to Italy. And one of the things he found fantastic about going to Italy was that when you go for a restaurant for a meal, they give you all these little tidbits and nice little things to eat before the meal. He saw some young ladies who were on holiday there, and they were embarrassed that this stuff was brought to their table. We haven't ordered this. No, no, it's part of what you give you when you come for a meal here. Well, I hope you're going to treat this little section of John as a bit of an appetizer for you, that you can go away in the week and actually get the full meal and read John's gospel for yourself and pick up some of the ideas that John is introducing in this prologue. We've talked about them a number of times, as I've spoken of John on several occasions before. The first theme that John introduces here is the Word, and he's talking about Jesus was with God and was God. He was with God in the beginning. We're introduced immediately to the concept of Jesus being eternally divine, our God and our Saviour. And then as we move on to verse 15, we say, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Flesh, a very strong term for our humanity. And so we see those two concepts that I've spoken of before. That duality of Jesus as being God and somehow amazingly become man. And I think John doesn't try to explain it here. And in fact, he doesn't really try to explain it at all in the Gospel. He just presents it as a truth that somehow our limited human understanding has to grapple with, but accept joyously that our God, the loving Father, the eternal divine one, has become flesh and identified with us. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. I've got the Street Bible, which I don't often get out, but I think it does actually read, quite opened my eyes to some of the things in here. So So we won't read from verse 20. So let's just pick up. Jesus got the name God's voice because he just spoke and stuff started. From nothing to everything, sparked only by the voice. There's nothing that doesn't have the phrase made by Jesus stamped on it somewhere. His words were life itself and they lit up people's lives. His light could blast its way into the dingiest corner. And yet the people preferred darkness still missed it. You kind of get used to the darkness. And I was thinking a bit about why is that. And I had in mind how they train elephants. And I don't suppose you know, you probably know that in India when a baby elephant is born and it's in captivity, they put a little chain around its ankle and chain it to a post. And this little tiny elephant can't break that chain, and it grows up knowing that it can't break the chain. They keep the chain around its ankle, but the big elephant still lives in the belief that it cannot break that chain, although it could quite easily do so. I think that's a thought for us. Sometimes there are things that are affecting our lives, the darkness that surrounds us, and we think we can't break that chain. And we just carry on living the way we are. Our theme for this year is do not be... Come on, I need it a bit louder than that. If I can't remember, please, someone in the congregation must be able to. Be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Be transformed. And John is presenting here an opportunity for people to have a transformed view of Jesus. And Jesus has come to save them. Right, I just want to return a moment to that idea of getting interface. Paul Simon's just got a new song out. Do any of you like Paul Simon? Yeah, he's called Wristband. Has any of you heard Wristband? It's quite a funny little song because it's about a musician who is in a performance and he slips out of the back of the stage door to have a fag, have a smoke. It's quite a nice song. And the door clicks shut behind him. And he can't get back in. But he's the musician. So he goes round to the back of the theatre, to the front of the theatre, goes in, and the big 6'8" bodyguard says, "Have you got a wristband?" "No, I haven't got a wristband. I'm playing." "Have you got a wristband? You can't come in without a wristband." "But I'm playing. I'm the stage act." And I just think it's so funny that so often we need these things, just like my National Trust card that allow us to get into places. But he wasn't recognised. But I can assure you that when you come to Jesus, he will recognise you and say, "Yes, you can come on in. You can come on in." To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So it's your right. You open your eyes. That doesn't mean you have become children of God, because it's the contrast with the previous verse. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. I'll just read a bit more from Rob Lacey. Verses 6 and 9. So God sends John Baptizer to raise Jesus' profile, to lift up the light. His job spec doesn't seem exactly fill a page of A4. It just reads, "Help." People take it in and take it on. Obviously, John's not the light. He's just there to build expectation and commentate when the genuine article makes his entrance and starts lighting things up. And when he does, bizarre. No one recognizes him. He speaks them into existence, but they don't recognize him or his voice. He arrives at the front door of his people, and most don't even peek out of the spy hole to check. The few who take the risk, realize who he is, open up and knock up a meal together. To these guys, he starts doling out adoption papers to sign them up as God's children. Conceived by human passion? No, by God's passion. So there we are, the end of verse 13. Children born out of not born out of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. It's not something we've been able to make or do or achieve. But it's be God's will that says that you can become, you have the right to be children of light. And I thank you that earlier on we had the family meal, and we introduced it as a family meal instituted to remind us of the liberation. Well, originally the Passover was for Israel, to remember their liberation from Egypt. And it's been transformed by Jesus to remind us of our liberation from sin and our freedom to enter into God's kingdom, to come into his family, to share the family likeness. Have you exercised your right to be children of God by the authority of Jesus and to be transformed? Stephen and I were meeting, and I've been blessed that Stephen is beginning to disciple me a bit. And we meet to pray and to talk about what we're doing. We've done it for a few weeks now. And I've just been blessed as we've thought about transforming. In our human, in our daily lives, things are changing dramatically for both of us. I said I've changed my job. And Stephen is looking at all sorts of changes to his medical practice and his future. But those are surface changes, and important as they are, there's a much more important change for all of us. To have our lives transformed, to know that daily we can enter into that relationship with Jesus that's going to change us from the inside out, not from the outside in. I can't speak this week without mentioning Muhammad Ali. And I heard various tributes on the radio yesterday about Muhammad Ali and about his graciousness and his generosity. And one of the accounts was of a man who was running a charity event, and they got Muhammad Ali in, and people could pay £5 to put their fist up against his chin and have their photograph taken hitting Muhammad Ali on the chin. And they made thousands of pounds because of the generosity of this man who was humble enough, a heavyweight champion, just to allow someone to pretend to knock him out. What graciousness and generosity. Jesus has allowed himself to be knocked out so that we can know life with him and his Father. John says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of husband's will, but born of God. And then he goes on to talk about the Word becoming flesh, and we've already touched on that. And John the Baptist, reminded that John the Baptist testified concerning him. You see, because this is a prologue, it's an introduction. And he says, the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We could spend some time talking about Moses, but we do not have time today. And the Old Testament, and the grace and truth that God revealed to his people Israel. But no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. And John says he was in the world and that we saw him, the true light. And then the next 20 chapters, he fills in the story. So I leave that with you to fill in the next 20 chapters. But remember, the whole purpose of that, of all that John has said, is not just that he thought Jesus was a great person, but he was God, and he came to allow us to come into that family that we celebrated earlier and delight to be part of the event. Oh, it's really good the way we celebrated communion today. But sometimes I think it could be a whole lot more raucous because it's a family meal. And we could have a lot of fun eating and drinking together and celebrating the fact we're not part of a small family in this church, but a global family brought to God by Jesus. Amen.